B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rob Gronkowski coming back. Apparently, Mr. Kraft has let him know that he would like him to do that.
Gronk is really enjoying his time right now. And, you know, at this point, the roster is what it is. You know, I love Gronk as a friend. I've loved him as a teammate. I want what's best for him and his life and him to be happy.
So are you saying you don't know? Or are you saying we'll see? Or are you saying you're not influencing? I mean, he works out at TB12. He's involved with you. He loves Alex Guerrero. So you might have a little bit more insight than perhaps you're leading on.
I know. I haven't talked to Rob about that. I'm not, like I said before, I'm not trying to influence him one way or another. And he said countless times this year that he's not coming back. So you just got to take his word for it. That's all I really got to say about that.
That's Tom Brady back in November of last year telling Jim Gray on Westwood One. Well, he said multiple times he's not coming back, and we have to take Rob Gronkowski's word for it that he was not going to call or influence Rob Gronkowski. Story in the Tampa Bay Times has a headline, Why Rob Gronkowski Ended His Retirement to Play for the Bucks. Gronkowski's father, Gordy, said the family was shocked he returned to the NFL. Before I even read the end of that sentence, they were shocked.
Shocked. Couldn't believe it. I cannot believe it.
Okay. Well, Gordy says the family was shocked he returned to the NFL and put a lot of that decision on Brady. Quote, The bottom line, Rob is back, in my opinion, because of Tom Brady. Again, Gordy Gronkowski to the Tampa Bay Times saying again, quote, I mean, Tom called him and Tom got in his ear. And I'm sure Rob probably didn't go out the way he wanted to.
As a Super Bowl champion?
Super Bowl champion with a game-winning catch. All right, Gordy. You know, when you're dealing with Gronkowski's, you always got to wonder about the number of brain cells we're dealing with collectively. Aww. But anyway, okay, apparently that was not the way he wanted to go out. So Gronk is in Tampa because, according to Gordy, Tom called and made the pitch, which we all assumed, right? We all assumed this when it happened. We said, oh, my God. Brady called Gronk, and we know, according to Bruce Arians, that Brady was pleading with the Bucks and making the case for them to make the trade for Rob Gronkowski. But now Gronk's dad says, I was shocked he came back, and I could tell you why he came back, and that is because Tom got in his ear. Direct quote. Tom got in his ear. So that now begs the question, why was Tom unwilling to get in his ear in November, but was willing to get in his ear in March? And I think the answer's obvious. I think it really is. I don't think it's hard to figure out. Brady knew Gronk wasn't coming back to New England. Brady knew that Gronk did not want to keep playing here for the Patriots with Bill Belichick as his head coach. That's what it came down to. So Brady knew not even to ask. He knew, I'm not calling him because I know the answer. Because Gronk had probably told him the answer. I'm done. I don't enjoy it here. I'm not loving football. I'm not having the fun I want to have. And I'm sort of beat up, and I've had back surgeries, and I could use a break.
Yeah, all that other stuff,
right?
Too.
Like, there's other factors, but I think the main factor is Gronk wasn't having the level of fun, and he wasn't enjoying the sport as much as he previously had. And Brady knew that under no circumstance was Gronk going to agree to come back and play for the Patriots under the current setup. That's why he didn't ask. And then March rolls around. Brady's got a new team, and it's an easy pitch. Guess what? We're doing nothing but having fun down here. Rob, I'm just like you. I had to get out of there. I'm so happy now. I'm down here in Tampa. It's Florida. It's great. Come down. Be a part of this. We'll get you traded. How long did the pitch even take?
I didn't even have to finish the second sentence.
No.
He was in. Tampa. Me.
Money.
Football. Money. Fun.
Fun.
I mean, I still believe that it was both. I still believe that it was Brady, you know, wanting to leave and the Patriots not wanting to pay him to stay and all that stuff. But anybody clinging on, anyone who's clinging on to the belief that, you know, Brady was unfairly forced out and he had to go do what he had to do. No, he wanted to leave and Gronkowski wanted to leave. They just didn't want to, they didn't want to play football here anymore. They wanted to play football, just not here. That's a tough pill to swallow. It's your team. And it makes it a little bit tougher to watch with a rooting interest or even a detached interest for what they're going to do now down there. You know, this, as you said, Beetle, is like confirmation of it. I'm leaving, and I know you quit because you couldn't take it up there anymore. Now we're going to go play down here. I mean, it certainly doesn't want to make me want to, it doesn't make me want to root for them more. I mean, I still think it's more interesting if they do well to a certain extent, but it's not a, it's a good story, but it's not one as a, that a New England fan probably likes very much. Does that feel good?
No.
That Brady and Gronkowski both decided they still wanted to play, but just not here. And that the biggest determining factor was for Gronkowski was just not here. Oh, you're going to hear about health. You're going to hear about, you know, his body being, you know, repaired and some time off. He didn't want to play here.
No.
He didn't want to.
If Brady re-signed here, do you think he's playing? Do you think Gronk came back?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
No, but the more we learn about this, I think the more we understand that Brady was not going to re-sign here.
Right.
That, well, it was never going to happen.
The reason why, if you're going to believe Gronkowski, is that he felt fine as soon as he stopped playing. As soon as he stopped playing and started, you know, doing his new regiments and stuff. So if he wanted to play, he could have come back in the middle of last season. You know, that there's your answer. And he didn't, because it was here.
Yeah.
Now it's somewhere else. And it took 10 seconds on the phone to convince him.
Yeah. And so I think that question, though, that I think some Patriots fans will ask today is, well, why didn't he do that last year? Because he knew the answer. He wasn't going to waste his time.
Right.
Or he had asked him and knew the answer and then was not going to say, oh, I did ask him, right? Let's phrase it this way. Had Brady called Gronkowski last October and said, Gronk, why don't you come back? Can you come back? And he said, Tom, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back there. I'm not dealing with that anymore. I don't like it there. I'm not enjoying myself. Would Brady then admit with Jim Gray in November that he had called him and already asked? And the answer was no? So that's the other part of it. Yeah. He may have asked, and Gronk may have said no. And so he then plays it off as, well, you know, I he's given his answer so many times, and we've got to believe him, and we've got to respect that. Whereas Brady may have actually asked.
That's a great point.
Right? And Gronk was like, nah, Tom, yeah, not coming back. And he's not going to out his buddy.
No. Well, Jim, I'll tell you what, Belichick sucks. Yeah. That's the problem. Yeah,
Jim, you know, I called Gronk. I called him about 2 weeks ago. And I asked him to come back, and I said, you should really come back and reconsider playing. You know, we could really use you this year. And he told me to F off. So he's not coming back. I mean, how, it's not going to happen. Brady wouldn't admit it if he had asked, and the answer was no. So I think it's not so much about Brady, and it's more about Gronk and his sort of view of the Patriots and playing for Belichick, which had clearly had its issues along the way, whether it was the time they tried to trade him to Detroit. And he openly says after a game, yep, they did. That happened. Tom Brady's my quarterback. Or it was the time that he was rooming at the press conference for motocross at Gillette Stadium. And, you know, I think there was a moment there where everyone had to get together and clear the air after that, whether it was Gronk or his agent, Bill Belichick, and whoever else. I think that all happened. There were some bumps in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd had enough. And so he wasn't coming back here. But he was ready to come back as long as Brady would go somewhere else. Now, if Brady, as you said, if Brady were still in New England, would he come back? No. If he goes to Tampa, Gronk's willing to go, which tells me Gronk would pretty much go anywhere that Brady went.
Yeah.
And he have gone?
Well, and if Brady hadn't got picked up by another team, which it was pretty much, as we now know, down to Tampa and maybe another team kind of or something. But had he not gone anywhere else, then Gronkowski would have stayed retired. I mean, that was it. It was either I play somewhere else with Brady or I don't play anymore. And I mean, that's all painfully obvious now. That's what it came down to.
617-779-0985. I do want to bring up What if Gronk didn't go out the way that he wanted to? You know, what might that mean? Not necessarily about the game-winning catch, but what he might be coming back for in addition to just playing with Tom Brady.
Interesting.
Let's talk about that. We'll get to that, and your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleeping on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
As a player, you always want to see what it's like, or at least have the opportunity what it's like somewhere else. Like, this is an opportunity to go see what it's like somewhere else, to go see what it's like in the NFL on another squad. There's so many players that bounce around on so many different teams. I love my time in New England, no doubt about it, but it was another opportunity that presented.
Rob Gronkowski back in the NFL. Jordy Gronkowski saying it was because Tom Brady got in his ear and convinced him to do it. But Jordy Gronkowski also said Rob probably didn't go out the way he wanted to, which is odd because the way he went out was making the what I would call the game-winning catch. It wasn't a touchdown, but it was the game-winning catch before going out as a Super Bowl champion. But maybe he means he didn't go out on his terms because he wanted to continue playing, but he wasn't enjoying it where he was playing here in New England. I also wonder if part of this is for Rob Gronkowski wanting to come back and maybe pad his stats for Hall of Fame purposes, for resume purposes, because he feels like he still has something left in him. And if there's one knock, I guess, if you want to even call it that, in Rob Gronkowski's career is that he played 115 games and he did have multiple seasons in which he missed games due to injury. And over the last 4 years, I think he's missed about a quarter of his games. And so I look at that and say maybe he wanted to go out by having played an entire season, start to finish, healthy, you know, good touchdown numbers. Say he tacks on a 10-touchdown season. At the age of 31, he will be. How will that help him? Because if you look at Gronk's touchdown numbers in the first 6 years of his career, and I'll give you the, let's do this, the first five full seasons of his career.
Yep.
10, 17, 11, 12, 11. And then in the final 2 years of his career, when he was healthy, those numbers were, and I say healthy for the most part, he played in 14 and 13 games. Those numbers were 8-3. His final two healthy seasons, he combined for 11 regular season touchdowns.
So that's maybe what his dad is talking about.
And maybe that's what it is. And if you want to go over the course of his final three seasons in the league, he combined for 14 touchdowns over three seasons in his final 3 years. Those are regular season numbers. 14 touchdowns over three seasons? Well, in his second season, he had 17 in 1 year. That was his career high. But
yeah,
it speaks to, oh, he came out of that, like he came into this NFL like he was shot out of a cannon. And he had a great run. Five of his first 6 years were off the charts type of production. And he was so great. And listen, I think the guy's the best tight end to ever play the game.
And
I do.
And best red zone threat I've ever seen.
And so the one knock on that resume is, yeah, but he petered out at the end. He wasn't the same guy. He dealt with a lot of injuries. His production went down. You know, we even heard things about his confidence level being sort of down in his final year with the Patriots. Maybe he wants to come back and he wants to pad those stats and tack on a good quality season or two at the end of that career where he knows he can be a red zone target. He knows that he's not going to be asked to block the same way he was asked to do it in New England. Guy was a monster when you needed him to block. Maybe that responsibility sort of goes away a little bit. Maybe they ask him to do less in that regard and more in the receiving game, like Travis Kelce or any other, you know, great tight ends over the years who were more pass catchers than they were anything else. Maybe he sort of morphs into more of that guy, doesn't get beat up as much, puts up good numbers, and then at the end you say, hey, that Gronk guy, he finished strong too.
Yeah, and I wonder, Beadle, if it's not so much about the stat padding and about getting the numbers back up to somehow, he's not going to get back to what he was in the first, you know, five out of the first six. So no one expects that. But even if he could go out there, say this upcoming season, and put up 5-6 touchdowns and not have to do all the other stuff, not have to do a ton of blocking, not have to be out there as a decoy as much, and just have fun, play the game a little looser with a little less responsibility, and double his touchdown output from his last year in New England, he would love that. I think he'd have a great time. And it's nowhere near 17 touchdowns. It's nothing like that. But it was a hell of a lot more fun. It was, if he puts up twice the number of touchdowns and it has more catches by doing half the amount of work that was required of him in his last year in New England, that's a better way to finish your career and probably leaves a better taste in his mouth about the NFL experience in general. And that's what he misses when, you know, he reminisces and, you know, thinks back to his days. He's not thinking about all those great blocks that he laid. He's not thinking about, you know, all the times he was victimized by an over aggressive corner who didn't get called for pass interference. You know, he's thinking back to just making those catches and getting into the end zone, and that's what he's thinking about doing and getting back to by being back down there with Brady. And yeah, there's a chance I can do some of that, not all of it, not to the same level, but a little bit more of that and a little less of all the other stuff that he didn't enjoy.
Well, I also think that a lot of times, long after you've played, these arguments about how good you were, oftentimes, unfairly, sometimes, come down to statistics.
And you look at the last couple of seasons when you're looking at them.
Yeah, you do that. And not only that, you compare them to the other greats of this modern era. You say, well, how many touchdowns did Tony Gonzalez have? And it's 111. Gronk's at 79. And Tony Gonzalez, if you're looking at the career, Tony Gonzalez had a much better career than Rob Gronkowski. But if you're asking me which guy in his prime I'm taking for a game, I'm taking Rob Gronkowski. The same would be true of Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Gates. But Antonio Gates has better stats than Rob Gronkowski. Tony Gonzalez has better stats than Rob Gronkowski. Shannon Sharp has comparable stats to Gronk. And so it just many times gets boiled down to that after the fact, that you can statistically say, oh, Jason Witten and Rob Gronkowski, they're pretty much the same guy. Well, Jason Witten was really good, and Jason Witten is a Hall of Famer. He was not Rob Gronkowski in his prime. I'm sorry, he wasn't. Gronk was better. And so I think there is sort of that pride level where, you know what, if I could make that 79 turn into an 89 or 90 over the next couple of years, I like how I stand up all time a little bit better.
And in the process, remind people a little bit that it wasn't just that time in New England, and it wasn't, I mean, all the stuff that we say about Brady and Belichick and how much of it was really the coaching, this gives Rob Gronkowski a chance to prove, like, yeah, I did have the benefit of playing with the greatest quarterback of all time, but it wasn't just the coach either. You know, I can go do that in another system. I can do it in a different way.
So I think there's also that element for Gronk and Brady too, though. Yeah, he always had Brady throwing him the football. Doesn't that exist too?
That's still, I mean, it's, right? He's not getting away from that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, by the way, Brady and Gronk, because Gronk's got postseason touchdowns too. I mean, they've got 90 or so touchdowns together over the course of their careers. So, you know, they're inherently linked here. But I do think there could be some of that. And so I do wonder about it. But I just think for his own personal reasons, he's going to want to make it look better. Not that he needs to. Three-time Super Bowl champion, although, you know, obviously one of them not really a major participant in, but still, he's got rings. He's got all kinds of honors. He's got great numbers. He was such a factor. And if you watch the guy play, you know how good he was. Nick is in Westford today. Nick.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
So you kind of already answered my question a little bit. I agree. I don't think he's going to be the same blocker at all. We know he lost the 40 pounds. I was just kind of curious. I mean, obviously he's been working out for this upcoming season. Do you think they're really going to throw him in the trenches? Is he going to be more of a red zone threat, like, exclusively? And I was just thinking your thoughts and how effective he's going to be with Brady this year. Just I'll hang up and listen on the radio.
All right, let's get to the first thing, Nick. And that is, I think he looks good. He looks like he's been hitting the gym, Hardy, a little bit. Because I don't think he looks all that small or looks like he has lost a lot of weight. I think he looks pretty good. I think he's going to be just fine size-wise.
Spent paying a little attention to nutrition, getting some quality time on the Nautilus.
Yeah, maybe he's a little leaner. I don't know, but he looks good. I'm not worried about his strength or size if he is called upon to block. I'm not worried about that. But I'm with Nick, though. I think they're going to use him more in the red zone, and he's going to be more of one of those targets. And when they do use him outside of that, it's going to be to open up things on the outside. Because they've got players there. They've got receivers. They've got weapons.
Right. I just, I hope it is something worth watching and not just, you know, that would be really unfortunate, especially for Gronkowski if he does, in fact, want to come back and improve on his numbers a little bit, recapture a little bit of the old magic, you know, prove this or that. And if it ends up, you know, fizzling out is just going to be so disappointing on a lot of levels. But it might actually please some New England fans who are like, oh, you don't want to play here? Well, it turns out you should have left it alone. And you should have left well enough alone with that Super Bowl championship and making what was essentially the game-winning catch in that Super Bowl.
If I'm betting on it,
that should have been good enough.
That happens. I've said this all along.
You think it's going to fizzle?
If I had to put money on it, I'd put it on it fizzling. He's dealt with injuries.
For both of them or just one of them?
I would say more so Gronk than Brady. I would not put that on Brady because he doesn't have a history of that. Brady's history is he plays every freaking week.
Yeah.
Now, at some point, who the hell knows when, he's not going to be the same quarterback. And maybe there's been some small signs of that. But no, I would say for Gronkowski, that could fizzle. But it could also go well if they protect him, if they really go out of their way to protect him. I think it could work somehow for
if
him.
They just use him in those, you know, really special circumstances where he does get to, you know, just go get open. Just go get open in the back corner. I'll put it upstairs and you can go get it. That'll be great.
It's going to be weird, though. It's going to be weird watching those guys in another uniform. We have been talking about fake crowd noise off and on for months now. How is that sounding? How is fake crowd noise going to work? We may have found the best example of fake crowd noise to this point. It's in baseball. We'll have a listen.
Good sampling, too. Good sampling.
It's a good sample of how it might work. You'll hear it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What's up? Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball, deep right field. There it goes. See ya, tie game. A pinch hit home run from Mike Ford, and it's 2-2.
No one's allowed into the ballpark. Opening day is this week, and no one gets to go to the game. Sad. But good that we have baseball back. I am. I'm actually looking forward to the baseball season, because I always do. And here we are, opening day coming up this week with fake fans, which I've pretty much been against from the beginning.
I was out on the adding of the crowd noise and all that stuff from the beginning. I'm with you.
I've been out on this.
Having said that,
I will agree with Jim Louth on this. He sent us last night a piece of audio of a Oakland A's broadcast that sounds like it's from a year ago or 2 years ago or any other season in the history of the sport when the place was packed with fans. And I sort of liked it. I almost don't want to admit that I liked it.
TV is different from radio, though, right?
It is.
You can't see it. You can't see it.
The fact that I can't see any of it helps. It does help. Let's take a listen to what you sent to all of us last night.
He's trailing 3-0. We're in the bottom of the second, and Piscotty fouls it straight back.
Pause. That part didn't sound like any other year.
What? What?
That. He is trailing 3-0. We're in the bottom of the second, and Piscotty.
What did the ball hit, may I ask, that made that sound?
To me here in LA. So
nice.
Don't forget that.
It's Zoe throwing the Yeti. It's either that or someone got a hit with a frying pan.
You don't have a cousin Patty.
Don't forget that.
God. What is that?
You lied to me.
So we're going to do our best to not pay attention to the Yeti hitting the wall. That would be the Yeti cup that Zoe threw at the wall.
I only screen grabbed, like, I just had a screen record on my phone for, like, a minute. And this is the minute I happened to just capture.
This is just a random minute. This is not any specific highlight.
It turns into a highlight. It just happened to be.
It did. It was dumb luck. Let's hear it.
Scotty fouls it straight back. Good job on the effects mic down there, Mike Baird. The great Michael J. Baird. Nobody has been working any harder than he's been. Tricky from a technical standpoint, especially doing the games from here while the team's on the road. Well, Mike does a great job. Now the pitch, and Piscotty, it's a high fly ball left field. Slater going back, still going back, at the track, right to the wall, leaping, and I think he hit it out, and Piscotty got it out. And the A's are on the board. It's a 3-1 ball game. So Stephen Piscotty homers about 10 feet to the right of the 362 mark. And the A's are on the board. And now 3-1 San Francisco.
No, elephant for the A's.
Oh.
Their logo's the elephant.
Can I hear the clang one more time?
He is trailing 3-0. We're in the bottom of the second, and Piscotty fouls it straight back.
Oh, and that ball hits our pie tin. That means somebody wins a table talk pie. We'll go to our random pie generator here.
The call on the home run sucks, by the way, in this random clip you grabbed.
Because he's calling it off a TV.
That's a problem. Because who operates the crowd noise? Is it someone in the ballpark?
I want to know, because we need that guy for our Celtics and Bruins games.
That guy nailed it.
Yeah.
Ball is appearing to be going out. He just fades up the crowd noise, and California Love starts blasting through the speakers.
It was It's a different sound, though. It's not the generic crowd noise. It's like a cheering crowd noise.
Oh yeah, it's not just a higher level of murmur.
No, he's not turning up the
murmur.
The drum. You have the drum beat in the middle in the background, like the little chanting drum beat in the background at the beginning of the call.
Yes,
you have the elephant at the end there. The sound effect after the home run. The California Love pumping.
But is the music playing in the ballpark anyway?
So I know what the NBA is planning on using a mix of like a bunch of different stuff.
Right. So if someone hits a home run, they're still going to play the home run sound in any given ballpark, aren't they? Like if a player hits a home run and they're used to hearing a certain
You play music, that in the park so you don't have to mix that in. The sound guy who's mixing it for the broadcast, all he has to worry about is crowd noise. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. That's how I would do it if I were engineering this thing. Game ops, you do whatever you do. You play the walk-up music. You play the music for the home run. You do all that stuff. And then we're going to have somebody for the TV and radio feed that's just doing crowd sounds.
What are they playing at Fenway these days for a home run? Is it still Sandstorm? That's what they used to play.
Tom's grabbing it. We have the song. It's that one that sounds like a bunch of bees.
Oh, I don't know. Flight of the Bumblebee? It's an odd choice. I don't remember hearing that at Fenway.
Sounds like a bunch of bees?
OK.
Okay.
Does this sound like 1B? Is it Blind Melon?
I don't remember this. Yep. This is the one.
This is the Fenway Park home run
song? Has been for a few years.
Oh, my God. I don't know how many games I've been to, and I could not have identified this for $1 million.
Wasn't it Sandstorm? You know that sand? That was a popular one years ago. Weren't they playing that for a while?
Ugh. That's putrid.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the crowd's going nuts. It sounds good.
Du hast.
Du hast mich. Du hast mich du Frog.
Really unfortunate that their concert got canceled this summer.
Oh, my God.
I know that was going to be a hot ticket. Really unfortunate.
You want to do this here or do you want to do the next? We have two more calls. We have a Dodgers call. We have an Indians call.
Okay, the first one is good. Hardy, what do you think? On radio, it works.
It totally works.
It works
totally
because you can't see.
Yeah.
So it just has a good feel to it.
You want to save them?
Yeah,
we've only got three this date in show history.
Okay, we'll do this date in show history at its normally scheduled time. We'll get back to this, though, because right now I'm feeling good about crowd noise.
I'm okay with it so far.
I'm okay with it on radio. All right.
We have one when crowd noise may go bad, too.
Okay, see, that's you know what? We'll keep it positive for the time being. This date in show history next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
July 21st. Show history. So
Lack Bertrand. And show history. I thought we weren't using that anymore.
We are.
Occasionally.
What do you got? Three items there?
Three items. One that I do not remember. Tom didn't remember it. Jim, of course, remembered it because Jim remembers everything. On this date, 21 July 2016, 4 years ago, Beatle. It was 98 miles season here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
4 years ago?
Rap battles, yes. It was one, I don't know, how many times did we do it? Three times we did the 98 miles stuff. Wayne in Grafton submitted a rap for the 98 mile. I do not remember Wayne. And we oftentimes received unsolicited submissions for the 98 mile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. Wiggy was one. I believe Sarge did one unsolicited at one point. Kaufman may have done one. This was Wayne and Grafton and his addition to the 98 mile rap battle.
Wayne and Grafton here. Dedicate this to the 98 mile and to my buddies at the Sports Hub. Yeah, I'm here, guys. This is going to be such a professional job. Yo, 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 Touch and Rich are gonna steal the show. Hey there, Waller, you really blow. Beetle and Zoe, I think you're great. I think I'll come down there and check your prostate.
Okay.
That's where he always crosses a line and gets weird and creepy with him.
He always mentions the prostate. Why you gotta leave? Why can't you leave the prostate out of it?
Just wants to make sure everyone's cancer-free.
Tom and I were debating in the back room how much of this we would actually listen to. So we're about a third of the way through.
Felger and Maz, they don't try to appease. All the good work is done by Big Jimmy Sleeve. Kiefer and Jones, I think you're out of luck. It's really too bad that your ratings suck. Now salute.
Can you play that part again? Let me hear that one more time.
It's really too bad.
Oh, you want the whole thing. Hold on a second. Here we go.
All the good work is done by Big Jimmy Sleeve. Kiefer and Jones, I think you're out of luck. It's really too bad that your ratings suck. Now a salute.
His flow is a little off there. The flow is lacking something, but he does have the horn.
Did he produce this, or did someone produce this?
Oh, I think he produced this himself.
Okay.
To my man, Sige, from what I hear, you got something quite large. Yo, Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes, ego.
To my man, Sige, from what I hear, you got something quite large. Yo, Jimmy Stewart, we love Lillian Garcia. We'd like to give her the smackdown and really see her. Wayne Grafton here. My name's Wayne and Graft, and I'm seeing spots because I got my hand in my shorts.
That's right along the same lines as the prostate.
Yeah, well, I mean, right. At least he's...
Now we've crossed the line.
Doing it to himself.
My name's Wayne and Graff, and I'm seeing spots because I got my hand in my shorts. Yo, rap, suck on that, Felga. Is looking at you.
Here's licking at you.
If he was going for that sort of haunting genre, I think he mission accomplished.
What is that? What is that genre? Like horror rap?
Horror rap? Yes.
Yeah. Wow. 1 year ago today, Beatle.
Okay.
July 21st.
I don't know how we top that.
2020. Well, we top it with an all-time Scott Zolak impression. You know, he's known for his. You know, Morgan Freeman is John Wayne, is Wookiee. There's a great Wookiee. This one that he bust out a year ago.
Was that movie with Thing, and he was with the Al Pacino. Whoa!
Whoa! Oh,
the burger.
The Oakwood burger.
Burger.
Yeah, Scent of a Woman.
Whoa!
Yeah. That's it.
That's the impression.
That's the entire.
That's his
impression.
Al Pacino. The Al Pacino. Whoa! Ridiculous.
Finally today, also 1 year ago, Dan Shaughnessy was in, and slip of the tongue. This is what I remember. Just based on the title, I remember.
I don't remember it, but I can't wait now.
Well, it sounded like it was me and Zoe doing the show that day. Maybe you weren't here.
Okay.
The songwriting team of Albert von Tilzer and Jack Norworth, who created the immortal tune, and they had never seen a game. How about that?
How about that?
How do they know about the penis and Cracker Jack?
So we're talking about Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
I mean, it's not even remotely the word peanuts. Yet he claimed it was.
Well, he had a lazy tongue that day.
How do they know about the penis and Cracker Jack?
I mean,
the what and Cracker Jack?
The what, the penis?
I was there, Hardy.
Oh, that's you.
The what and Cracker Jack?
Let's hear it again.
How do they know about the penis and Cracker Jack?
The what and Cracker Jack?
The what, the penis?
Penis and Cracker Jack.
The penis and
what? Peanuts.
Peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Peanuts.
He said penis.
Oh, he absolutely said penis. Freudian slip.
How do they know about the penis and Cracker Jack?
It's not even close. It's not even close.
You know what they say about a Snickers? It's packed with penis.
It really satisfies. I mean, I remember looking at him going, are you kidding me with that slip? And he pretended like we were the idiots for even asking or asking him to clarify that he meant peanuts.
You know, when I was in school, we could have anything for lunch. You could eat peanut butter and it was no problem. Now everyone's allergic to it.
Careful.
What?
Tread lightly.
What? Peanuts. That's what I said.
Nothing like a bag of salted penis.
Peanuts.
How do they know about the penis and Cracker Jack?
Oh, my God. The what and Cracker Jack?
The what? Excuse me?
But the penis
oh, how ridiculous.
The penis and
what? Peanuts.
Peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Peanuts.
That's an all-timer.
I have a question. Is Dan going to be able to cover baseball? Because I read that it's one person per outlet.
Oh, actually, at the park, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not allowed into the clubhouse.
I mean, here's my question. Because they are a John Henry-owned operation, do they get any special access?
I don't know, but the reporters aren't going to be allowed into the clubhouse.
No, I know.
So what is that? I mean, cover the game.
If he covers it, does he have to write the game story and not do a column? Probably, right?
Well, I would say that, you know, if you want to write a column, you could go both ways. You don't have to be at the ballpark to write the column. Yeah, I get it.
But if you want to write about the entire ambiance, it's like, if you're not there, how do you know about the music?
Right.
How do you know about the sounds?
How do they know about the penis and Cracker Jack?
Exactly. How do you know about this stuff unless you're there?
And perfect.
There it is.
There it is. Thank you very much. Headlines take only 90 seconds, and we are right back with the Noontime Hour here on Zolak. Bertrand, Beadle, Hardy, and McCone today. We've got a couple of directions we can go here, Hardy. We could go back to the sound of baseball games.
Okay.
And check in on that, which I think that would be my vote.
That would be my vote so far with one option.
And what option else? Two would be to get to the NBA and their jersey slogans.
Oh, let's finish up the baseball sound first.
That's what I say. We'll do that first.
We also forgot to talk about this before the show, but Tom just reminded we have a song we have to play for Hardy at some point today, later on.
Oh.
You sent it yesterday.
You just ruined it. You ruined it. You should have played it without mentioning it.
Nice going, Jim.
Way to go, Jim.
We got two hours.
We have two hours. Just play it now, then.
We have 2 hours.
No, just play it now. I just knew that it wasn't even my idea. It was another producer here at the station who forwarded along last night to Tom and I and said, play this tomorrow. This would go up Hardy's backside. And so we thought we would. But you ruined the surprise, Jim.
No, we didn't.
All right, now you've got to play it.
I'm not playing it here.
Yes, you are. You've got to play it here.
We'll spring it on him.
You've got to play it here now. You can't make the listeners wait for that now. You can't do that to them.
How about after headlines? I'll pretend like this never happened.
Oh, yeah, I can't play it right now. I have to wait till after headlines.
Okay.
Oh, that's what I mean. After headlines. Yeah. Play at the start of this hour. All right, we'll get to that. We'll get to the baseball sound, and then we'll get to the NBA and their jerseys. That's all on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.